On Wednesday night, I shared a simple principle, but I want to give it back to you today, if you don't mind. There's three things about faith, if we can remember these things. Say it with me, start in faith, stay in faith, and finish in faith. How many of you know it's easy to start something, tougher to stay with it, and then if you don't stay with it, you'll never finish. The Bible talks many places about men and women of God who God spoke to them by faith. They started, and there are places where they were somehow delayed or things didn't go the way they should, but then they stayed, and then they finished. So many people I can tell you about. But here, listen to this definition, if you don't mind, of what I believe hope is. Fair enough? I wrote this thing down. What did I put? Here it is. Listen to this now. Hope is the joyful expectancy. Say hope is joyful expectancy. That's so powerful. Joyful expectancy that looks forward to the divine change. See, hope is divine. The promises of God are divine, all right? So what is it? Hope is joyful expectancy that looks forward to divine change, even though at the moment you may be engaged in some conflict. One of the things that the church does wrong, there's so many things they do right and some things wrong, but we make determinations on God's word based on other people's experiences. Well, I've been praying for so long and nothing's happened. We hear that and we've been praying for so long and we say, well, it's not working for me either. Am I right? All right, so let's go over to a scripture verse that you and I have seen so many times. Philippians, just a simple principle, amen? We'll look at some other things. Philippians, chapter number 4. All right, listen to this now, because we're going to give you an illustration, hopefully, out of this. Philippians 4. Look at verse 6. Don't fret or have any anxiety about anything. And we talked about this. Anything, if you look it up, means? Yes, if you look up the word nothing, what does it mean? All right, simple. Now listen to what this says, because there's a difference between a carnal Christian and a spiritual one. A carnal Christian reads this and never follows through on it. They get the anxiety part, but they never follow through. Listen, be anxious for, say it again. Now listen to what it says, listen. But in every circumstance and in everything. How many of you know we run into circumstances every day of our life? All day long, fair enough? Am I hitting home with that? By prayer, what's the first thing you do? Is you pray. And what does Jesus say? He knows what you have need of even before you pray. How many of you know what a promise, you know, what's a promissory note? Promise that you will repay. Now, have you ever had a promissory note towards someone or someone back to you, anybody? Have you had somebody fail in doing that and you have to go get help like from a lawyer because they're supposed to be paying me so much a month and yet they didn't do it. Now you're out the money. Am I right? Here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. God's word is his promissory note, but he backs it with his name. God's word is God's promissory note. And I'll prove it to you from scripture that if he says something, he can't lie. He's not, understand this now. So we're going to step into something here and put on your waders. Fair enough? Here's what it means when it says petition. Definite requests. Here's the next part. With thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Now this next verse is powerful. And listen, let me step aside for a minute. Sidebar. Pastor, you've preached on this before. I preached on John 3:16 many times. But God keeps giving me revelation. How many remember Mark 4? Let's not go any farther there, all right? Because I want you to see something. And if I can get you over this hump and let you see what the Holy Spirit wants to say, you and I will take these scriptures and others that I will give you and put them in our hearts and see our lives change when it comes to the promises of God. Amen. Fair enough? Amen. What happened when Peter was walking on the water? It was fine until he took his eyes off of God's promise. We'll be all right if we keep our eyes on God's promises in the Word of God. I'm gonna just go nice and slow. And God's peace. Now, what's going to happen if we do what it says here? First thing it says is what? after you give all your requests with thanksgiving, God's peace. What kind of peace? God's peace, see, shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing. Say nothing. Now listen to this, next verse, verse 8. For the rest, brethren, whatsoever is true. Now you tell me what's true. The word is true. And if the word is true, then Jesus is true. Listen to what it says. Whatsoever, it says that, whatsoever. Anytime you see the same word over and over again, the Holy Spirit is trying to bring a point home. We're studying about Ephesians, about putting on the full armor of God. And in one verse, it says, wrestle not. It says, wrestle not four times in one verse. Somebody is trying to get a point across. The Holy Spirit wants us to know is our fight is not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers. See, we can't take over God's responsibilities and expect God's results. Let me start all over with that. We can't take on what God's promised us and try to make it happen our way. Doesn't work that way. I can't explain to you why we have to wait. I can't explain why we're going through this. It's not my business. My business is to bring the word of God to you, serve it to you as a servant of God, so that you may grow and mature and be able to mentor others to do the same. And let me tell you something, our culture has plenty of opportunities to do that. I preached for over a year on fear. Fear is still floating around. It's still floating around. Hope has been lost by so many people. People are throwing their hands up in the air and they, I don't know what to do. Well, you do and I do, because the word of God has already expressed to us what we should do. Amen. Now let's go a little bit further. Everything. Wow. Rest, brethren, whatever's true, whatever's worthy in reverence of its honor, seemingly, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there's any virtue and excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh on and take account of these things. Listen to this, none of you. Fix your minds on it. The Bible says we must have the mind of Christ. What are we to do? Renew our minds every day. Amen? Now, come on up, my brother. Yeah. Here's something I want you to see now. If you can get a hold of this. That's perfect. How are we doing? Blessed. You are praying for a financial blessing. Okay. Hallelujah. Here's what's missing in many believers. You're praying, the request. What happens is we're saying it out of our mouth, but we have to realize that we already have the answer. Right. And listen now, Pastor, guess what? Remember I prayed last week, and guess what happened this week? You're all what? Excited. There needs to be the same excitement before. Amen. Seeing things, I see a lot of lights went off here. See, because what we do is we say what the word says, and then we don't praise him and thank him because we haven't seen it yet. That's a bold-faced light. But I hit something there, I hit a nerve, because that's not the way. The way of God is you praise him and thank him because it already belongs to you. Amen. You don't wait until you see it. Hallelujah. That's not how faith works. Yeah. How many of you got something went off in your brain? Amen. So what happens when we make our request known? Then with thanksgiving and praise, what do we do? Yeah. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? I already got it. See that? That's how we should respond, not with somebody else prayed the same prayer and they're still waiting. Well, get away from people like that. Don't be around people like that, because what that does is put water on the prayer and the promises of God. Amen. Some of you got it and some of you are still on hold. Get rid of the hold button. Push the delete button that gets rid of our natural mind and puts on the mind of Christ. Amen. So are there financial needs in your life? Sure. There always will be. Thank you. Hear what he said? That's what I wanted to say. There always will be. So how do you take on every day? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You've already met all my needs according to his riches in glory. See, there's an expectancy when there's hope. We got it?
Got it.
Smith Wigglesworth, thank you. That was a powerful prayer over there. Smith Wigglesworth, my God. His wife wanted to go to church. True story, wanted to go to church. And he said to her before he got saved, he said, if you go to church, I'm locking the doors when you come back. True story now. So she came back that night and knocked on the door, and he wasn't going to let her in. Here's what she did now. She leaned against the door, slid down the door on the outside, and went to sleep. The next morning, he opened the door, and guess who fell in? His wife. She gets up and said, good morning, Smith. What would you like for breakfast? Guess what happened to Smith Wigglesworth? He got saved because his wife was already proclaiming that. How many people do we hear, hon, that he had raised from the dead? 29 or something like that? 30-some people he raised from the dead. A plumber who wanted nothing to do with God, who locked his wife out of the house. 39 people. One of them is including his wife. She passed in the house. He leaned her up against the wall and called her back to life. And you know what she told him? Leave me alone. Powerful man or what? Because his wife believed that. See, our prayer life needs to mirror the Word of God. When we make a prayer request, God already knows what we have need of even before we open our mouth. Understand that now. So when we make our request known, definite request, and then we start praising him, what's going to happen? The answer that's already there, the promise that's already there, will show up here. All right, let's go look at a hopeless situation. Fair enough? Let's go over to Acts real quick. One of those hopeless situations in life. Interesting. Interesting. Go over to Acts chapter 16. We have two of the disciples, Paul and Silas, in prison. Let's look at verse 23, helps us out. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe. All right, listen now. Wow. We have received a strict charge, put them into the inner prison, which means the dungeon. See, your prayers may look like they're in a dungeon. God doesn't have dungeons. He doesn't have a place where when you and I pray and believe his word and his promise is that we have to go fight through the dungeons. You and I don't have to experience that because we always come from a place of victory. Now, the enemy wouldn't want that to be known to you and I, but we always come from a place of victory. Fair enough? Into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But about midnight. Well, can I ask you a question, God? Why couldn't you do it earlier? Don't ask him. Don't ask him. I remember a man years ago, a missionary, he was in England, and he needed to pay the mortgage on the building or else the bank was foreclosing the next day. True story again. He was out walking late at night around midnight and praying outside, just walking around the church, and all of a sudden he saw these two big men coming at him. And he was like frightened and fearing for his life. And as he came closer to them, one was on one side, one was on the other. And what happened was they put their arms inside of his arms and kept walking but carrying him along with them. You understand the picture? He's going this way, they're coming this way, and they picked him up, two big strong guys. And as he said, oh my, he didn't know what it was, he started praying. But he sensed and felt the presence of God there, and he felt them putting hands in his pocket. And then not too long after that, these two men just walked off into the atmosphere. I think we call those angels. And when he felt into his pockets, it was all kinds of money. He looked behind him, and there was so much, it had already fallen out of his pockets. He went home, counted the monies, which was more, you know, which was, see, when you pray and ask God for his promises to come, he doesn't just give you a little bit for now. We're not talking about manna. We're not talking about Old Testament. He gives you more than enough. That's New Testament stuff. He had more than enough to pay the mortgage for that month and for the next month. Remember, Jesus could have called how many legions of angels, about 72,000, to come and rescue him? But he didn't because he would have negated what God wanted to do through his life. That's to rescue you and I. Fair enough? Let's go a little bit further here now. This is a good, oh, I like this story. Wow, listening. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns of what? Praise. What was going to happen the next day? It was all over. You ever hear, what would you like for your last meal? Well, they were beyond that. They're probably getting hungry. But they began, let us out of here. What did he say? They started praising God with singing and worshiping. That's what we just did. Fair enough? Amen. So why were they doing that? Because they knew God, that if their life was to end, it was to the glory of God. But I think, believing in my spirit, that there was an alarm bell going off that was telling them this is not the end. I think they knew that. I think the Church of Jesus Christ knows that the return of Christ is right around the corner and it's imminent. When I've done many marriages, I'm with the best man, I'm with the groom, and we're in the back waiting for the bride. One time I waited and waited, and the groom said, do you think she's not going to come? Let me go find out. The father who was supposed to walk her down the aisle, guess what? Cold feet. So we had to talk to him and coax him. He finally was able to come out. And I always say this to the groom, every marriage I do. She's at the end of the aisle. Say at the end of the aisle. And I always poke the groom and say this. I think I did it with you too. I probably did. You'll never see her like this again with such radiance. Because the glory of God is on her and is on you. And they go like this. Yeah. Amen? Amen. So understand the promises of God. If I can put it this way, I hope I got this right. If you and I could see the promises of God like a bride ready to come down the aisle, there's an expectancy about it. I said there's an expectancy about it. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Remember when Paulie got married? Oh, boy. And the Knicks were playing the Bulls. He had already gotten married. He said, go into this other room, find out what the score is. So me being the guy who married him and his father and everything else, because I wanted to know too. I went into this other room and come back. And my wife said, where are you going? How many of you know there are half-truths, but you get caught? I said, I'll be right back. And I told him the score. I had to do that over and over again. Finally, what's going on? Well, I've got to find out the score. This is your son's wedding. You can read about it tomorrow. Now, today, with all the devices, nobody has to go in another room and look because you can pick it up real quick. Amen? But there was an expectancy. We've got to know exactly what's going on. Fair enough? When your bride's coming down that aisle, there's something that happens on the inside of that groom and also what's happening on the inside of the bride. Jesus, the representative of all the promises of God, sees you in anticipation of him coming. And there's going to be embracing of his promises in your heart and my heart. Come on, do you see that happening? Is there anything too big for God? The answer is absolutely not. Nothing surprises God. Amen? Listen, this just came off the press. Don't think any prayer that you pray is too small for him to answer or too big for him to answer, because he cares about the little and the big, and whatever goes on in your life, he cares about you. He's already expressed that by giving his life on Calvary. Amen? Glory to God. Now listen, because this is so important. Paul and Silas, midnight, were praying and singing hymns to God, and other prisoners were listening to them. Whether you know this or not, people are watching you. They're seeing you. They know there's something different about you. They know that, quote, when you pray and ask God for something, something happens. Say, it always happens. And they're watching you and listening, and they want what you have, but they don't know how to get it. Guess what? When the answer comes and they see the revelation of that answer coming to you, they're going to come like Nicodemus at night. Could I talk to you for a minute? Because he didn't want anyone to see him. And could you tell me how this works? And Jesus said, you're like the wind. The Spirit of God is like the wind. It blows wherever it wants to. And if you want to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, guess what? You've got to be born again. And born again means from above. Nicodemus got saved. Nicodemus got born again. Amen? So say this with me now. People are watching me. People are watching me. Everything I say and do. Oh, I got to pay my rent and I don't have enough money. And they hear you praying. They see your countenance hasn't changed from one day to the next. But they also see that your countenance has changed. Right? You need a miracle. Am I right? Yeah. How's that going to happen? I don't know, but the Word knows, and He's already got it covered. It's that simple. See, it's that simple. Say hallelujah. Nothing's too big for God. So who was watching? Everyone. Now listen, suddenly. There it is. A suddenly. The Bible has many suddenlies that are looking for a place to go. There are angels in heaven with suddenlies in their hands, waiting to distribute the suddenlies. But there may be a shortage of people asking for the suddenlies because our natural mind sees it's too big for them, or it's too small for them, or they're watching someone else and seeing their answer hasn't come. You cannot live off the expectation of circumstances of somebody else. Our expectation is on Jesus and on the Word. Amen. There are angels in heaven right now, ready to be dispatched at your disposal. Amen. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I remember once I had an issue with my leg, and they had to send bandages like in the mail to take care of it because you can't go to the hospital every day. I'll never forget it. And they called up and said, the order wasn't placed on time. You know what I did? Thank you, Jesus. Because God's time. Next day it showed up, and there was a box. I forget how big it was more than I needed. See, that's how God does it. You don't get upset. You don't get angry. You don't get mad. You just say, God, thank you for the Word of God. How many of you are first responders? How many of you work in a hospital? Thank you. How many of you are police officers? You don't have to raise your hand. Firemen? Any first responders in hospital? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you. I call first responders God's soldiers. Amen? So say, suddenlies are waiting. Suddenlies are waiting for you and I just to open our mouth and say what His Word says. Fair enough? Say, suddenly. There was a great earthquake. Earthquakes are bad things. No, not if God calls them in. Fair enough? Here we go now. A earthquake, oh my God, so that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. Now, could a man do that? No, but God can do that. The very foundations. Sometimes He wants to shake the foundations of our spiritual lives and knock off some of the cobwebs, clean up the place. Amen. And then suddenly we begin to see things differently. Glory, here we go now. Wow. It was shaken, and at once. See, the at once and the suddenlies was waiting there to happen. How much longer will I have to wait? It's there, the suddenly is there, and it's about to show up. Fair enough? Say, the prison shook to the foundation. See that? To the foundation. Here comes the bride, expectation. Say, hopeful expectation. Fair enough? And at once all the doors were open. Hang on. How many doors? Well, who was singing praises? Paul and Silas. We don't know who the other prisoners were. Maybe they were followers of Christ. We don't know. But when the doors open, now listen, if you get a miracle, if you have something that God is answering for you, it's going to affect other people around you with a ripple effect. Amen. Have you ever thrown a pebble across a lake and when it's nice and quiet? And what happens when the stone goes across? There's a ripple effect. If a boat goes into the water and moves, there's a what? There's a quake. There's a ripple effect of that boat passing through the water. When you and I pray, there is a ripple effect. Let me try that again. There's a ripple effect of what happens when we open our mouth and say exactly what God's Word says. Hallelujah. So if one person gets a miracle, let's say for your marriage, somebody else can get the ripple effect for their marriage. And then that goes over here and someone else gets it. And then someone else gets it. Now, how many of you ever skipped a rock across the water? You get a big, big one and throw it. You look for what? Flat one. So you can skim it across the lake or the river, whatever you want to do, and you see it go like this. That's the prayers that you and I pray, and the suddenly, when that thing hits and goes in, there's a ripple following the ripple that follows the ripple, and the people on the other side get the same ripple. I hope I'm lighting the fire in you. I hope I'm lighting the fire of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, that when we pray knowing it's already done. Don't let our eyes drift like Peter to the waves and the storm and everything else. He was not new to storms. He's a fisherman. He wasn't fishing, but Jesus was fishing for him. Hallelujah. Oh, what happens if I take my eyes off the promises and I sink like Peter did? Very simple. God will help you in the boat. So you can start all over again. Amen. Listen now. And at once the doors were open and everyone's shackles were unfastened. Say this with me. Everyone's shackles. Who was praying and worshiping God? Paul and Silas. We're preaching off the pulpit of Harvest Church. You're here listening to me. This message and what goes on here goes around the world. The ripple effect, I said the ripple effect, goes out of this place with your help and financial support around the globe. There are people watching us around the world who will never come to this church, even locally, but they're listening. Their lives are being changed. I learned this from T.D. Jakes years ago. He said, if you have any kind of ministry where you're giving to folks and they don't come to your church, you don't have the ability to show up, you may never see the harvest from it, but there is a harvest. The harvest is we're obeying what the word says. Amen. I know the other day I went to see Paulie, what's going on? He had loaded up a vehicle and he said, I also changed a spare tire. I said, what? Yeah, the lady had a flat tire. It's like a big spike, am I right? He's a minister of the gospel. He's loading up vehicles and he's fixing a flat tire on the car of the lady. That's one of those midnight hours. That's one of those times when you and I say, huh, but God has a ripple effect. You understand that now? When we didn't have enough money to pay the bills for a week, you know what we did? The same thing we do every week. We lay hands on the money and pray for it. Then suddenly something comes in. Where'd that come from? I don't know. Well, it came from heaven. Say heaven. So when you and I are praising and worshiping God, praying and believing, it will affect people around us as well as us. People are watching us. The church of Jesus Christ is the only answer that will work in every place. A new law won't do it. Someone else in office won't do it. The only person that will do it is the person of Jesus Christ. I got my lady who cuts my hair. She's known her for years. She's a believer. And she always said, what about this, Paul? And what about this? And what about this? Amen. Glory to God. And I started talking to her. And she said, every time I talk to you, I feel so much different at the end. And here's what I said to her, listen, because I'm talking to you about Jesus, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, amen, which I've said to you many times. That means truth is a person. She stepped back and said, say that again. I said, Jesus is the truth, and the truth is a person. Amen. I've never thought about it that way. Her life was changed just like that. Saying something I've said over and over, yes, but then one day, that seed pops out of the ground. Amen? Come on.
Amen.
Welcome. Hallelujah. Welcome, my precious wife.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. While you were preaching about praise or talking about praise, the Holy Spirit said these three things to me. As God was giving Pastor revelation, he was giving me revelation. I'm sure he's giving you revelation. And this is the first thing he said. Praise is an inward response. It's an assurance with an outward manifestation.
Yes.
Praise is an inward response. We don't clap and jump and smile and laugh and do that just to be silly. Praise is an inward response. It's an assurance. And then the outward manifestation comes.
Yes, yes.
The joy, the clapping, the laughing, yes. The saying, God, I praise you. Our assurance has to come from the word. So that when something hits and something comes or something is said, or we're chained up in a prison like Paul and Silas, we know on the inside of us, the answer is God's word.
Yep.
And we say to the situation,
yep,
with an assurance, not in ourself, but in God's word. He's faithful to his word. So praise is an inward response with an assurance to something coming against us. And then it outwardly manifests. We say, hallelujah, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I say it's done. I call it done. I'm relying on your word. Okay, so that was the first thing. The second thing he said was, praise shakes the very foundations. You just said it there.
Yes.
The foundations,
yes,
of our problems.
Yes.
Praise is shaking this morning, church. Your praise, your response, your assurance, it's shaking the bottom. It's shaking,
yes,
the foundation,
yes,
of that which is standing in front of you like a great mountain looming in your face.
Yes.
We don't see the mountain move maybe right now, but our praise is dealing with the very root system,
yep,
and the foundational,
yep,
system,
yep,
of that which we are seeing that is trying to take us and discourage us.
Yes.
So keep praising because the foundations are shaking.
Yes.
And the word says in Psalms, if the foundations begin to shake, what will happen? What will the church do? We praise.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Come on, just praise. Clap
Thank
your
you,
hands this morning. Show God today.
Yes.
Show the enemy today.
Yes.
Let's show ourselves today.
Yes.
Praise is,
yes,
a response, an inward,
yes,
response.
Yes.
It can't help but coming up on the outside,
yes,
of us because we've been feeding ourselves. The word, the word, the word, the, yes, word, the word, the word, the word, the word, the name,
yes,
the blood. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And so our outward body has to respond. People think praise is crazy, but praise is an assurance.
Yes.
The third thing the Lord said to me over there was, praise removes everyone's shackles that are around you.
Yes. Wow. That's good.
You know, people are wonky.
That's a good word.
They just are acting like crazy wild bees.
Hmm.
And if you're on the job and you work and you're looking at people, they are acting so crazy. But I'm saying to you, in the anointing this morning, Nikki, hallelujah,
mm-hmm,
the people around you, the people around us, as we praise God and we respond,
yeah,
inwardly, that shows outwardly their shackles. That's why they're acting like that.
Yep.
They're upset, they're stressed,
yep,
they're shackled, they're possessed, they're addicted, they're confused, they're anxious, they're worried, they're scared,
yep,
they're full of fear.
Yep.
And so whatever's going on inside of them is trying to manifest and come against us.
Mm-hmm.
But we can praise,
yep,
God,
yep,
with that assurance.
Yep. Yep.
Come on, hallelujah. That assurance,
yep,
from God's word, he's faithful to his word. He said he would do it, he will do it. He did do it 2,000 years ago.
Hallelujah.
And our praise can shake their foundation, hallelujah, and shake their shackles,
hallelujah,
that are holding them bound and captive and make them become set free,
yeah,
by the power and the anointing of God. Somebody needs to shout this morning. Somebody needs to praise this morning.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to have an inward word, an inward assurance with an outward manifestation that God is not a man that he should lie, that he's on the throne, that his word is yea and amen, and it's true, and it's not just about us going through. We're going to shake the foundation of this world, shake the foundation of this earth, shake the foundation of this culture, shake the foundation of our government, shake the foundation of our city, shake the foundation of our prison houses, and see God move in a mighty way, and not only us in our house, but everyone that's around us shall be set free by the power of praise this morning. Come on, praise God right now. Hallelujah.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.